recruiting.
This conference will.
You really need to recruit in order to sort. I mean, if you're not recruiting, you're not going to be sorting because you're not talking to people. So, and this was an article that was written. It was in the Network Marketing Times, and I liked it so much. Number one, it was Tom Hopkins, and every one of you who knows anything about sales or has been exposed to sales. Lydia, I'm getting a clicking. Can you stop and start recording again? Sorry, people, I want to make sure I have a clear recording. And every once in a while it starts clicking like we haven't heard this. Star 2 and star 2 again. It said press star. It said press 1 to cancel the recording. Press star to cancel this command. Cancel the record. Is it recording right now? Sorry, people.
This conference will.
Great. All right, so now we're going to kick off and we're going to talk about recession, a great time to recruit, article by Tom Hopkins. A lot of you have been around sales in your life, know who Tom Hopkins is. He's like sales guru of the world. He's got tons of tapes and CDs and DVDs and books and all sorts of things around sales, and he gives conferences all over the place. But anyway, he's not really truly in network marketing per se. He works with real estate, businesses, and all sorts of things, so he's not what I would call the true network marketer. But he did write an article for Network Marketing Times, and this is the title of it. And so let's jump in and talk about what he exhibited in there, because I think there are a lot of great things that he leads to in here and some things, tools that you might be able to use in your prospecting. Number one, first of all, he's talked about that you know, the recession is a time where people are looking for Plan B. In fact, it's a normal response because a lot of people today are out there and they're trying to, you know, say, where's my life going? Where am I going to have financial security? Da 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 da. They're looking for all sorts of things. And what do they have available for them today? What they have available for them is they have available things like going into the stock market. They can go into day trading or something like that. They could choose to go into the real estate market and start doing real estate investments. By the way, Lydia, it's still clicking. And they can also choose that they can choose other network marketing companies. We have other network marketing companies that are out there. But the importance of us at Manatech is that we're here and we have a real great mission for people to follow. And I think we can distinguish ourselves from stock market, real estate, all the other kind of things out there, because the number one thing that really people are motivated on is being a part of a mission. And so that's really what we're truly looking at, is involving them in part of our mission. So know that you have a distinction to offer. We also need, Lydia, we got to stop the clicking. Sorry, people, I just can't continue training with clicking in the background. Okay, we'll try again. All right, so anyway, so that's one thing we need to look at. Secondly, we need to be there for these millions of people. And literally, I want you all to do today, just put on your agenda, just check your local unemployment records. I want you to know in your community, in your locale, in your closest city, what is the unemployment rate that you're suffering around your area? Most areas are in the neighborhood of between 8 and 10%. Some are in excess of 12%. I want you to find that out for yourself and get a real picture of the hurting, and some of you are in that same slot yourself. But we have tons of people out there, people. This is like when we look at 9%, we don't look at 9% as 9 people. We look at 9% of the million people. That's what? That's like 100,000 people in your arena that are unemployed today. They're desperately looking for somewhere to earn cash and earn money and supply financial security for their lives, just get back on their feet with something. And a lot of these people are taking part-time jobs. They're doing all, so they have free time. They might be taking a part-time job, and so they have some extra free time. And you have the perfect opportunity for them to jump into to help support them with financial security. So know that you know that this is what Tom Hopkins is talking about. He's saying, what an incredible time we have. Now, one of the things you have to recognize with each of these people is fear typically runs people's lives. And fear runs people's lives today in that even the people that are still in jobs, what is going on for them? They're worried about maybe they're going to be the next one to lose their job because their friend at church just lost a job, their buddy that they used to go to lunch with lost his job, their golfing partners lost their jobs, and they're going, oh, my gosh, when's the hatchet going to fall on me? And that's truly where people think. That's their mentality, and that's the fears that are running through a lot of people's lives. And, some, again, could be some of you on this call as well. So we're not just talking about the numbers I just told you to go look up in terms of how many unemployed there are in your area, but I'm also talking about the people that just have job insecurity, which is the rest of them. Really, there's very little job security in the marketplace today. A lot of people are worried about what the next step is going to be. So what you want to do is you want to make sure you're there for them to give them an opportunity to get that extra stream of income flow that just might support them one more way. I love to talk to people today in terms of, you know, what can you imagine? What would an additional $500 to $1,000 a month do to with your family? I mean, can you see a difference in your life? And people really respond to that. It's not about selling them on platinum presidential. It's about talking about just the simple concept of developing $500 to $1,000 extra income, cash flow on a monthly basis in people's lives. And that is truly doable by every sense of your imagination of how in Manitat. So, again, the economy and financial security continues to be the number one issue discussed in conversations today, and we need to present solutions for that. Last week, we can even look at last week, the stock market took a dive. For those of you who are investors, you know that because you saw some losses hit or you didn't get out in time or you've been playing and you're getting out and getting back in again, whatever it might be. For some of you, might be day traders. But the idea is that what caused the stock market to go down last week? And the number one thing that caused it to collapse last week, and it wasn't a total collapse by any means, not like what we saw last November, but what happened is we had this unexpected loss in jobs. We had an unexpected loss in jobs. See, that all the economic indicators tend to be turning upwards. The manufacturing sector is going up. Housing sales have been rising every single month now for 7 months straight. I mean, so there's a huge trend. There's major trends in our economy that show that we're back on track, on foot. But the one thing that keeps coming out negative, and in fact isn't getting better, is actually getting worse, is the jobless numbers. And they didn't expect that. They expected it through the summer months, but they didn't expect it to continue through the fall. So we're seeing that that's the arena where there's the most, you know, dysfunction and insecurity. So we want to make sure that we're in that realm to help support people and help them get better financially stable and add that extra income flow in their life. And with the comp plan, it's easy to show them how, hey, you can just do this, this, and this, and you can make an extra $2,600. Well, if they're trying to find $500 extra a month in their life, if they earn that $2,600 and they do that in 3 months, they're making almost $1,000 each extra month. So you really have an opportunity to support people in achieving whatever their goals might be. A second trend that Tom Hopkins brought up, and it, you know, let me tell you, I was ecstatic about it because he's not out there trying to promote any given network marketing company by any means, but he just said, hey, and those of you in the health industry, my goodness gracious, health is a gigantic trend in our society. First of all, there's a lot of fear about that. A ton of it. Now, a lot of it is being put upon you by, you know, people who just want their own agenda promoted out there. So we get accosted with all sorts of fears, whether it's death squads or whatever. You know, I mean, all sorts of stuff's coming out that just has no truth in fact. I just like to get facts. I like to read the law. I remember being up in Minnesota this summer doing some Manitat things, and one woman told me, she said, did you realize under the plan proposed by Congress that they're going to be just killing people after the age of 65? And I said, I don't think Congress is going to vote on a plan. But stuff like that happens because people send fears. They send tremors out in the population. So today we have a lot of fear around health care and where it's going. For those of you who think that your health care has been working for you, well, that's really nice, but is this world all about you, or is it all about what we do for our fellow man? I mean, what's going on in our country today? And the problem is, even if it's working for you, it's costing a bloody fortune, and it's putting our country out of business. So there have to be changes. There have to be changes. So the idea is that what those changes are what causing the uneasiness, because everybody who likes what they already have are uneasy about what it might look like, and those who don't have anything are uneasy about this, and people are uneasy about making it mandatory. All the issues are jumbling. So health as an industry is in a lot of turmoil right now. And one of the things that we do know for a fact is that every single one of those congressmen are working on cost-cutting basis. They're all trying to cut the cost. They're trying to, you know, how do we cut the cost for the federal government? How do we cut the cost? How do we cut the cost? How do we cut the cost? Well, the number one way to cut costs is do what? When you're talking about health care and you want to be personally responsible and you want to say, we as citizens need to take this on as our plight. Otherwise, the federal government would take it over again. And, of course, we don't want the federal government running the whole show. We don't want to be a socialist country. We want to be, what, free market country. So the idea here is that, hey, we want to take on personal responsibility for health care. And if we do that, each individual, that's the number one cost-cutting mechanism we can put in place. Because that means you and I are now not consuming fast foods anymore. We're not drinking the Diet Cokes. We're not eating tons of sugar. We're not drinking the regular Cokes. We're not eating tons of chips. We're not putting garbage in our system, but we're putting real foods into our bodies. And that's your number one cost getting. And that's what you have. Each one of you in Manitac have real food technology. You have the ability to open people's minds to this. It's just incredible. So what Tom Hopkins said, he said, each one of us in the health-related product field have an incredible advantage over all other network marketers because of the emphasis and the trend in health today. But we need to take advantage of that. We need to bring it up. We need to talk about it. And you don't have to get political about it. You don't have to be politically conservative or politically liberal. You don't have to take sides in the argument. All you got to do is say it's in turmoil. Talk about it being in turmoil, and you know that unless for it to really work for us as a country to sustain ourselves and stay out of the realm of the government interfering in all of this stuff on a massive way, we need to take personal responsibility. We've been totally irresponsible for years and years. Now we need to step back into responsibility. Now. We don't have a chance. It's not about tomorrow. It's about now. Now, this is the cute thing. This weekend, Saturday night, it's kind of my date night with my husband. And, of course, his favorite activity outside of church is bridge. He loves to play bridge. Some of you know that game, some don't. But I used to be a major bridge player myself before my kids moved in, my niece and nephew, which is now, oh, my gosh, over 10 years ago, and my stepdaughter. So when I became a mom, that's when I kind of gave up the game. But my husband still plays prolifically, and every Saturday night, it's our date night, and he tends to want to either go to a movie or go play bridge. So we went to play bridge this past Saturday night. And sure enough, at the bridge table at the end, the last round we played, we had a couple that were sitting at our table playing against us, and the woman, she started asking some questions, and what an opportunity. And I just started really, you know, I didn't go on to a big, huge thing, which is my, you know, past my typical thing. I'd go into a big barrage about, oh my gosh, it's so exciting. Blah, blah, blah. But remember, I've learned. MJ Durkin taught me. Mary Jo, don't overwhelm people with your enthusiasm. There's plenty of times for you to be enthusiastic. One of them is not in the process of prospecting. I don't want to overwhelm people with my enthusiasm. So I just talked about, very matter of fact, kind of what transpired in my life, what I do, and the joy of helping people achieve a greater wellness in their life and take back personal responsibility for their own health. Well, it was one of this woman started asking me all sorts of questions, you know, and I said, no, we're really into real food technology. I mean, it's not about, you know, naturopathy. It's not about using herbs. It was just, what an incredible conversation. She goes, I want your card. I want to talk to you. I want to help you. You know, and she says, what do you think about and I said, I love diagnostics. I think diagnostics are great. But what we use them for then and then what the action we take from them can be totally different than what a traditional medical model might take. But so we talked, which is great. So I'm just telling you people out there, just be there. Be present. Be with. Be ready. Apply your MJ Durkin stuff so you don't overwhelm people. And just, you know, if they're interested, they take my card. That's great. I'm ecstatic. Give me a call. And you know what? If she doesn't call me, I can know where to find her next Saturday night, probably back at that same bridge club, right? So it's intriguing, but I really want to do some sorting as well. If people really want it, I don't want to want it more than they want it for them. I want people to want it. And if I can do that in a brief interchange, that's great. So anyway, so that's the way to do it. Get out there and take it, you know, share the health because truly it's on everybody's mind. And when you talk about it from being personally responsible, people will respond to that. We need to take personal responsibility. If we truly don't want the government to intervene in this, people, we need to take personal responsibility because it's runaway cost. It's greed that's running the health industry. It's greed that runs the insurance industry. Don't tell me it's not greed when they use every possible mechanism to cut you off from your insurance. Don't tell me it's not greed when they compensate and pay bonuses to their employees for terminating insurance policies when people make claims by finding any possibility of pre-existing condition. I mean, or misrepresentation on the application form. I mean, this is not anything except pure greed. So we gotta get involved individually to, you know, take that on. And I think we have such a great environment to do that today. Number three, he talks, before you go off the deep end, make sure you have a fit. This is a big issue with Tom. This is really what he wants. The major gist of this article is about, you know, we love to go off on a deep end. We try to, you know, network marketers love to go sign up as many people as you can, right? And we even have bonuses. We have acknowledgement. We have the top enroller awards. We have all this stuff going on out there. Well, I'm going to tell you that some of those top enrollers in this company aren't even in Manatech anymore. Because why? Because they purely focused on just enrolling as many people as possible. I don't want that to be your focus. I want your focus to be out there to talk to as many people as possible, make as many possible contacts, make as many possible presentations. But you know what? Don't make the enrollment like just your guided missile that you're just... And then just, because what happens is you let everything else go. You forget about honoring the people and following up with them and touching base with them and making sure the products are working for them, make sure they're on the right products and making sure you're servicing them properly. You know, I go back to that statement at boot camp where they said, do you realize that if you just had 30 people in your organization who service 20 customers, 30 people in your organization who service 20 customers, you'd be a presidential director. And you'd be a strong one because you wouldn't. None of these people are going to go away tomorrow because they're all being served. Phew, is that a thought? All right. So anyway, but what we want to do is we want to serve people. We're in a servant's heart, so it's not about total number of enrollments. It's about how do I bring somebody on and how do I serve them and how do I keep them on board. That's what we want to be doing. Every one of us have made the mistakes in the past. We can look at them. We can stare at that downline with zeros and we can say, you know what, I didn't serve those people. And we can choose different ways of serving people. I love to do mana mails and send cards at Christmas and, you know, send little, you know, for my business builders, especially where people expressed interest in sharing. I like to have little gifts. And, you know, that's the way you want to do it. It's about keeping their contact, keeping the contact information up. And by the way, last month we had a great contact item called Omega-3s, and this month we have a great contact item, and you know what that's called? Manatech just published on the Manatech website. You can go on the cover of Manatech's website. They published a statement about the Jenner Institute and the two different scientific studies that were presented at Jenner. That's a great article. It was just all I think it they got done over the weekend or today. But there's an excellent mechanism to go and touch people's lives with that. I mean, when people see what they're discovering and what they're presenting at international glycobiology symposiums, I mean, what do you think? Are they going to stop taking Ambritose? I don't think so. But you've got to get that word out to them. You have to get it in their face. You've got to get it in their face and let them read it and put it as an attachment to an exciting, enthusiastic email, whatever way you want to do it, but get that information in the hands of your consumers. Okay? So great. So we want to make sure that we're doing that. So it's not just a fit. So you want to make sure it's a fit too. So when you go out there and you start enrolling people, make sure it's a fit. What does he mean by make sure it's a fit? He says make sure because network marketing is not for everybody. Oh, did that just blow some of you away? I know some people are out there telling, oh, you should contact everybody. Everybody, it's for everybody. Anybody can do it. Da, 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 da. You know, I don't agree with that. I've been around it too long to know that that's not true. Not true. Network marketing isn't for anybody and everybody. Do I approach everybody with the opportunity to take it on? Absolutely. But I can recognize in a very short period of time whether the person's really going to ever share. I mean, people who want to choose into timidity are not going to be your network marketers. You can't do network marketing being timid. It doesn't work. People need to be bold. They need to have, you know, they need to come with, you know, exhibiting bravery and audacity, and they have to be strong-willed, and they need to be self-confident. Those are the kind of characteristics that need to be present in a person for them to be effective at network marketing. Why do I know that? Because I've seen who makes it happen, and I've seen those that fail at it and struggle for so long. You can do it as a hobby, but you're not getting the platinum presidential any day too soon. How many platinum presidentials can you list in Manatech who are timid? I mean, just not going to be there. They're going to have servant's heart. So you got to look at what are the main ingredients I'm looking for somebody to be that business partner with me. And remember when we did that 45-second presentation, we talked about what? We talked about building your organization first. Consumers will come, but build organization. So target people for your business first. So if you're targeting people for your business, what are the main ingredients you should look for? Well, Tom Hopkins gave us four in this article he wrote. He said, number one, belief in the products. Now, that's a hard thing because when you first start with a prospect, how can they believe in your products? Well, let me just twist that a little bit for all of you to understand it. When you're talking to that first prospect, I can find out in the first, the minute I start talking about health and the critical nature of being proactive and take, I can tell responses by people whether they're totally into that. So before they get to even take the products, I can't expect them to have belief in the products. But you know what I look for? I look for belief in there is a better way. Belief in the fact that we need better foods. Belief in the fact that it is a myth of the well-balanced diet. Now, I might help build their belief in the process of my presentation because I love the fact that we have a 1951 study out there that tells us nutritional value of fruits and vegetables that we can compare our current fruits and vegetables to. So I can highlight that. And it's always shocking to people when they find out. Because if you ask somebody, this is, it just happened this weekend, I can give you by a relationship and by exact, you know, what's transpiring in my life. I was talking the other day to somebody. I said, now, if you, and a brand new person, okay, yeah, and this was just purely introduction. We were talking, and they said something about, well, we eat pretty well. And I said, really? I said, you know, that's the fallacy that we really exist within our country today. I said, you can eat relatively better than somebody who's eating at fast food restaurants, and I'll tell relative to other people you're eating well. But eating well from a relative perspective doesn't ever suggest you're getting what your body needs, and therein lies the problem. Our foods are so devastated and so deficient today. And then I ask them the question. I said, you know, they have this study back in 1951 that examined all these fruits and vegetables, so we have perfect data to compare against what we used to eat. And then I'll say, now let's take peaches, for instance. You know, in 1951, it took two peaches for the average woman to get her needs for vitamin A on a daily basis. How many peaches do you think it takes today? And they'll look at me and go, oh, probably maybe five. And I go, you're off by a decimal point. 53 peaches. And they just fall apart. And it's so much fun because then you get to just follow up with, oh, but you know why? Look at the whys. What do you know about our soils today? And they go, oh, see, I don't tell them. I love to ask, ask questions. What do you know about our soils today? Have you ever heard of genetic modification? Oh, my God. I said, and who's bringing these foods to market? Do you think they care more about making a ton of money or more about making sure you get the nutrition you need? Oh, Mary Jo, rah, rah, rah. You see, you're just going to ask those three questions to them. Let them do that. I love the concept of letting people convince themselves because they love to be knowledgeable and they love to have the aha moments of putting all these facts together to come to the same conclusion. But if you tell them the facts and tell them the conclusion, different results. You want them. Okay? So anyway, so that's what you do. Sorry spending so much time on belief in the products, but I really wanted to help you maybe a better approach you can take when you're sharing with people. And this just comes from experience. It just comes from going out and doing it. And that's probably our number one problem. We're not sharing enough. But let them draw the conclusions. Just ask questions. Because you can lead them in 100 ways when you're asking questions. Number two, strong desire to help others. I believe if a person is selfish, they're not going to be good at network marketing. They might hit the road running like a racehorse, but in the end, they're going to fall apart. You know, they might even get to presidential, but tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, they'll be regional director again. Because you have to have a desire to really support people and love on people. And if you don't have that, you know, number one, I think you're missing out on a lot in life. I don't even want to talk about Manitech. There's a bigger gap in your life than just Manitech. But they're probably not going to make a good business builder in your business as well. Number three, some kind of selling skills. And when I look at selling skills, I don't talk about hypey. I talk about selling skills meaning what? They like people. I think that's a selling skill. Number two, they're good listeners. That's a selling skill. Number three, they're not afraid of rejection. That's a selling skills. So you're looking for some of that in their personality as you're talking to them. And then four, some management ability. You just want to look at, does this person have some, and it doesn't have to be a natural born leader. It's just somebody who has some leadership characteristics. Whether they always want to be fair, they don't come from judgment. They like to impact lives. They have a desire in their heart to make a difference here on the planet. I mean, those are the kind of things I consider more management ability, that they have some commitments in those areas, because we can help grow some of their management and some of their leadership talents through leadership training seminars like Clemmer and what we're doing in Manatech today. Okay? So clear, those are what he suggests that we look at, those four things with people, so that we make sure we're sorting. We're not just grabbing onto everybody who walks in our path. Because if you just grab onto everybody, some will make it, some won't. This is one of the reasons why I believe Ray Robbins talks to every single person he ever comes across in his life. But he knows if he touches enough lives, eventually what's going to happen? One or two of those people. If he talks to 10 people a day and he gets their cards or hands them his card or whatever, he's going to have a few of those that siphon into his life. But if he's not out there constantly in contact with people, he's not going to present that opportunity. He's not going to have the opportunity that these people will get back in touch with him, or that when he gets back in touch with them, they really will have some interest, because he doesn't have enough numbers in the hopper. And that's the same with you and me. We need to have enough numbers in the hopper. If somebody tells me, well, Mary Jo, I commit to contacting one new person a day. Well, if we know 66% of the people don't acknowledge a need or acknowledge a need and don't want to do anything about it, that means that one person a day, it'll take you... with the first 10 people, at max 3 will have some interest. So you're really isolating yourself and creating almost failure inherently. You really have the ability to contact. If I just walk out of my house and spend an hour a day contacting people, I probably can contact, 20 people in 1 hour. It doesn't take that long. Go to a place where there's a lot of traffic and just make conversation, break the ice, make some conversation, make things happen. Okay? So anyway, so know that you're going to have automatic some kind of level of fallout, so you want to make sure you're putting enough numbers into it to achieve results that you're looking to achieve. The next thing he brought up was, is their desire greater than their fear? And that's a huge thing. It's kind of like a weight. You take a scale, and you put, is their desire greater than their fear? Because if their fear is greater than desire, what's going to happen to this person? They're going to quit. The minute it gets tough, they're going to quit. So you want to find somebody who has a big desire. You know, we talk about that in Manatech when we talk about a big why. If you don't have a big why, you're going to quit. And I have some issues around it. In my 90-day program, people filled out some homework assignments that they had, and I got a few of them back, well, pretty many of them back, but I've started looking at them. And some of the whys, I'm telling you, they aren't going to float my boat. Aren't going to make me work, and aren't going to make you work, and they're not going to make you stay committed. And I'll give you an example of one of them. Somebody put, they wanted to, their goal was to meet a certain leadership level by the end of December. And I said, great, great goal. And then their why? Because it's the next leadership level in Manatech. Now, who wants to tell me why that why is not going to work? Anyone on the call want to get unmuted? Because it's the next leadership level in Manatech. What's the major thing missing in that why? It's not personal. You're basing a goal on what somebody else has put out there as a structure. You're making nothing personal about it. You're not bringing it home to you.
Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
So what it's missing is the emotion.
No emotion. I'm just following a track. Somebody told me this is a track. I'm putting this in. My why is the track. No, that's the what. You're just taking the what and you're rephrasing it, trying to use the what as your why. Do you follow me? Your what is that you're going to be a regional or a national. It's not your why. It's your what. You got to put emotion behind it. You got to make it personal, deep down inside of you. And for some of you, it's going to be, the reason I'm going to do this is that I'm going to prove to myself that I can do it. Whoa. Now you're talking. Now you're talking, brother. Now you're talking, sister. Now you're getting closer. Because somehow inside of you, you need to accomplish that goal. You need it for you. You need to prove yourself you can do it. It has nothing to do with what Manitech's rules are and what they're, I mean, it's crazy, but you see what we do? We get really confused in things like that. I want it personal. I want it. Your whys have to be really personal. They got to evoke emotion. You got to have passion around your whys. It's got to be meaningful to you. Otherwise, I mean, so I'm having a lot of fun with that, but I, you know, it's a training process. So you have to have that desire. Again, that desire's got to be great. It can't be, I desire to be regional because Manitech tells me to. My gosh, that's never going to get you anywhere. So what are the fears? But fears kind of hold us back. Fears are that little voice that people hear inside their head. Every time you present to somebody, don't kid yourself. What's happening to them? They're going, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Oh, I didn't do it before. I've done network marketing before and it didn't work. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. That's what's going on. That's that. But what is it all premised on? Fear. Fear of failure, fear it won't work, blah, 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 blah. You know, so you got to sit there and say, well, what do you want in your life? Do you want to keep doing what you're always going to be doing because you're going to keep getting what you've always been getting? That's okay, too, if you choose it. I mean, it's okay for you if you choose it. It's not okay for me. Never be a standard I want in my life. I want to live an extraordinary life. There's no room for mediocrity in my life. You just need to make a choice. So you can talk about it, and maybe you can help drive them and get their desire up to something else. But you got to see if that desire is there, people, because really, if their fear is greater than desire, you're going to be chomping at that for the next 6 months, and then you're going to tell me at the end of 6 months, you're going to come, oh, Mary Jo, I can't believe this person did this. And I said, really? What did you see in their life 6 months ago that could have given you some inclination that that was going to happen? Oh, you're right. Look at what happened here, 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 every step of the way. You're looking for people who have an incredible, deep desire, and they have a commitment to follow through on that desire. And fears will not stop them. They may have a few out there, but you know what? Everybody has fears. That's just human nature. But we need to quash the fear, let the desire overcome us. So you don't want to be mentoring somebody who's leaving something. They're in a fear situation today, because how many people do you talk to and they go, oh, my gosh, I this, and they're just in overwhelm and all this. And you go, great. Good. So now I'm going to let you bring overwhelm to my Manitech business. Not happening. Don't bring overwhelm to your Manitech business. All right? So keep your eyes open for that. Is their desire greater than their fear? And you can think of a lot of ways to ask that question and open up that aspect for them and say, I sense that you're nervous about something, that you're worried about something. What is it that's maybe a fear in your life? Or maybe you don't have to use the word fear, but you could say you're worried about something. I sense tense. Around this. What is it? And you've got to walk them through it. And if they say, well, you know what, I tried network marketing before, it didn't work for me. I said, great, now could you explain to me why it didn't work? I mean, clarify for yourself why it didn't work. I want you to get real clear. I love doing that. Because if they can't precisely tell you why it can't, or if they tell you why it, that the reason it didn't work is because they went victim to somebody else, you can say, well, can you see how maybe that was a little victim? What did you do or not do that could have made a difference in it working or not working? Could you say there's some things you could have done differently? If they can't pinpoint that, people, the word is NEXT. Because that's the same person that's going to blame Manitech or blame you weren't a good leader or you told them the wrong stuff or you don't want the blame game queen artist in your Manitech business. We got enough of that going on. You want to find people who can take personal responsibility for what they already created. So what did you create before in your past, in your last network marketing experience? Okay, could you see where, is there a place you can say if you just took a look back to review your actions, was there something that you could find in the actions or inactions in your life that could have made a difference in your success in that experience? Ask them those questions. Say, great. I just say, I'm not here to criticize. I'm just here for you to be honest. I mean, I want to see if you can really truly be honest about what transpired. And then find out what it was or wasn't. And you go, wow, that is so great. Because this is what we do in our program to help you overcome that. And then you can start showing them a difference. But if they use it on blame game, oh, the company, you go, oh, but we got a better company. Oh, yeah, right, that's really going to work well. People, get them to take personal responsibility. It's the famous universal law, cause and effect. Cause and effect. If you look at your life today, you can say, you know what? I made decisions and choices that caused me to be in this situation today. So what I need to do is look at what those things were that cause, that the cause, which mostly comes from thoughts and belief systems that create us in, on a wrong path, in a wrong direction, habits that we've developed that never will serve us, and that we need to change the cause to create a different effect. And that's the same with network marketing. Okay, now he went into qualifying your people. He gave a needs formula. You will be wasting your time and theirs if you don't qualify your people. This is the next step. It's the next step after you start doing some character review and da-da-da and find out the fears and seeing if they have a ground. Then you want to do the next one. And here's the next here. It's a kind of a neat acronym, so you can use it, NEEDS, but it's not the typical way we say needy. It's N-E-A-D-S, NEEDS. The N stands for now. So what are you trying to find out? What is going on with the person right now? What do they do now? What are they committed to now? Your answers are going to show you whether this person has some level of intelligence, are they coachable, are they in a position to do something new, to find out what they're doing now, the present, in the moment, what are they doing, how important is to it, all that. You're going to find out that information. E stands for enjoy. What are they enjoying most about what they're doing now, and do they enjoy working with people? That's a critical constraint in this business, right? Would you say it's important in Manatech that you enjoy working with people? Absolutely. Okay. Are they outgoing? Do they enjoy being, you know, or are they timid? Are they shy? Again, that's not going to be my business builder. Now, they might start out a little bit on the shy level, but if they have a spirit of willingness to change and become outgoing, just like one of you on the call, and I don't remember who it was, but the other day when I was doing a training, I remember somebody on this call said, "Oh, my gosh, Mary Jo, you just hit a home run ball for me." She said, "I always thought I was timid. I was told I was shy." And what did you hear in my call? That it's a choice we make. These are just timidity and boldness are just, what are they? They're habits we grow up in. We get shut down at some stage, and then we all of a sudden build a belief system about that's the way I'm supposed to be or that's the way I am. There's nothing genetic about boldness and timidity. Nothing. It's just habits that you developed. It's characteristics you've grown into in your life that you can toss aside. Step into boldness. Anyone can do that. All right, so you're going to find out, are they willing to make that shift? Do they get excited about new ideas? What do we know about Manatech? Every day it's something new. I mean, we got to be ready to adjust. We have to fall in love with change, be change artists. You'll need to hit their hot buttons if you want to share your opportunity with them. So you got to understand these things about the person. A stands for alter. What would they alter about what they're doing right now? So in E, you find out what they enjoy about it. Do they like people? Are they outgoing? And in A, you find out, well, what if you had a choice, if you had a chance, an opportunity to change what you're doing right now, what would you change? What aspect of it don't you like? And why do I want to know that? Because I want to know what their hot buttons are. If they tell me they don't like having a boss, because their boss is this, 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 and this, and they just don't enjoy having a boss, great. Why do I want to know that? Because, number one, now when I present my business opportunity to them, I know exactly how to distinguish myself from what they have today. That's a hot button for them. It's important to them. They don't want a boss. Number two, what happens 6 months into them doing Manatech? All of a sudden the tough gets cut. You know, Uncle Elmo says it's a fraud and I don't understand why you're giving up your career today. And they get all this negative feedback and they start getting glum. What do I have in my tool chest? I have in my tool chest the reasons they didn't like their prior situation. They didn't like having a boss. So I can bring up, hey, this is an alternative for what you didn't like. Do you have a boss today? No, Mary Jo, but you can be kind of tough on me once in a while. I get it, because I'm a mentor, and I'm going to coach you, and I'm going to hold you capable. So, yeah, but I'm not your boss. You're your own boss. You go, you're right about that. I said, great. Now, that's what you didn't like. Remember, let's talk about your old boss. So I can dig back those memories that they're not too fond of. So A stands for alter. You want to know what they D stands for decision maker. Again, this is a classic point in any kind of sales. You never want to be with a person who can't make the decision. Because if you're with, you're wasting your time. So if you're talking to somebody and they need a spouse there, then stop talking until they get the spouse there. You want to make sure you're with the decision maker. Otherwise, you're spinning wheels. So if they need anyone else to be present, make sure you have them there. And then S stands for the solution. And this is where we come in. This is classic again. Excuse me. Coming out of Michael Oliver's stuff and whatever approach you're using today. I use Michael Oliver's because I love it. when people talk about things and they express the concerns, and I go, really, what are you doing about it? What do you have a solution for that? What do you? And then I just really softly, toward the end of all that discussion, listening to all this day, I said, well, you know what? The Lord laid on me my heart, and I love to do that, you know, because that's who's running my life. I said, the Lord laid on my heart some 12 years ago that I needed to be a servant's heart and go out and touch people's lives in the wellness field because of a miracle that happened in my dad's life. And so what I do today might be an exact answer for the problems you've just expressed. And I'd love to share them with you if you'd like to get together. Great. Simple. Loving, caring, you know, no hype, no phenomenal enthusiasm, no anything except truly my heart. I'd love to help you if you'd like to get started. Decisions you make, and then you make a decision before it. Great. So you want to make sure you're presenting the solution. Once you've determined you have a qualified person, the S comes next. You need to summarize the conversation by suggesting that you may have a solution for their needs. Summarize the conversation. You can say, you know what, this is what we just talked about, this, 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 and this. And, you know, what I'm doing might be an exact solution for what you're looking for, and I'd love to share it with you. And then set up a time for a presentation. Got it? So needs, does it work? Yeah, I think it's a great formula here. If it helps you get organized and structured and look for those things, great. I just think we spend too little time sorting and too much time begging. Too little time qualifying, too much time manipulating, right? Let's get out of all the bad stuff. Let's get all the ridiculous stuff. Let's get all the stuff. You know, when I look at people today, there's no need for me to get them signed up. When I look at a person and I say, wow, this could really impact their life, I hope they see it. That's what I do. And sometimes I'll even pray about it. I'll just say, Lord, I just ask you to open their hearts and open their minds before I go on to meet with somebody, that they can see that they truly have the power within to make better choices about their temple, about their health. And then I just go meet with them. So I release it. The result isn't in my control. What is in my control is my love and my heart for them as I talk to them. Right? Okay, people, that's it. Anyone have any questions? Did this, I know a lot of this material, sometimes when I look at it, I think, wow, we've trained on this or we've seen this, but there's always a new spin on it, and there's always newness to offer, and hopefully you're enjoying it. Anyone have any comments? Is this helpful?
There we go.
Yeah.
It's Susan. Hi.
Hi, Susan. Susan's one of my 90-day challenge people.
Yeah. Right before I got on this call, I called somebody totally not related to this. In our conversation, she told me that she's probably going to have to move out of her house. She's not making any money. So I ended up, you know, telling her a little bit and saying, do you think this might interest you? So my question is, I know there's so many new tools and everything like that. Can you just say something about, like, what steps you would do using, you know, the tools that we have now?
Sure. What I do when I meet with somebody about the business, I love to always set the stage of who we are as a company, a Manitech Real Food Technology, and our number one, you know, flagship product is a product called AmberToast. So let me just describe to you what this is. So I do a little bit of that for the first 5 minutes of a presentation, because I think it's important to lay the foundation of who we are, Real Food Technology, and our flagship product is AmberToast. And so I still, Susan, I still carry around my laminated Science Magazine cover, okay? I mean, I'll still, because I think people are visual. So I'll just pull that out so they see it. And I'll talk about, you know, just the discovery of glycobiology, and I'll bring it to the future. You could spend an hour alone just on that one little, I spend 5 minutes maybe. But that kicks us off. And then I love to use the YES brochure and just walk through that and talk to them about that. And I draw diagrams on it. And you guys have all, the way I did my YES presentation, that's part of a manatrain.net outline. And it's equally applicable today. You just need to change the numbers. But the approach is the same. It's, you know, I talk about what the issues are today, and you can talk about what's going on in healthcare and why this is such a relevant topic today. It's one of the hottest growth industries because we know that we know we got a lot of issues in healthcare, and most of them have to do with the cost, the runaway cost. I mean, trust me, people, none of this would be going on in Congress today if our costs weren't over 200% what the next highest country's cost of health care is. And that happens to be Great Britain, by the way. But, ours is over, compared to theirs, ours is another 100% greater. Their average cost is somewhere in 3 to 4, ours is 7 to 8,000. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So you want to bring, you could bring some of that stuff in too to just highlight. But you look at I'm just suggesting that you go there and go through that Yes brochure and ask them questions as you go through it. And it's just a wonderful way to show them. Mm-hmm. And this could create for you on the immediate level, you can look at it, you can make this $2,600. But the real aspect here is that by the time you get that $2,600, you're going to already be on your way to national director where you're going to be earning $600 to $1,000 on a monthly basis of income. Would that make a difference in your family's life? And they'll go, well, yeah. And I go, great. But it wouldn't replace my job. And I say, well, maybe it doesn't have to replace your job, but maybe you're going to fall in love with this and you'll want to replace that job. And that's when you can look at the other three levels, executive, presidential, and platinum. So does that help, Susan?
Yeah, I'm going to meet with her tomorrow evening.
Uh-huh.
So she asked me, can you email me something? So that's what I was trying to figure out, do I want to do the Yes presentation when I'm there in front of her, or do I want to email her?
I think what you want to email her is email her Dr. Sinnott. I would do a clip on it. You could use Instant Capture for this, which is a great way to do it, and use the quote that I used out of Gerald's Heart, that about the glycobiology, and just in your email to her, just say, in advance of our meeting, I just want to share with you who we are, and just let her have a little foundation of who we are. And you might even attach a copy, say, I'm giving you a special link here, just link to this. It'll lead you into listening about the science and what this company is about in the health arena. And I'm also attaching a news release on the recent studies that were just, produced at the 9th Annual Glycobiology Symposium in Belgium. Okay? So something like that. And just give her that, because that'll set the stage. She doesn't have to know. You can handle the business side of her. I think when you give her too much in advance, they get caught up in, I can't do this. And I don't want her to jump to any conclusions. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather you be there with her. Yeah,
okay.
And go over the Yes brochure, because I think you're very, if you are a brand new associate, if you're asking this question as a brand new associate, I'd tell you, you want to do, call her back right now and say, let's meet Tuesday night, but tonight I want you to be on a webinar with me. Can you join me for 40 minutes tonight from 8 to 8:40? And I'd have you take them to my live life to its fullest. Mm-hmm. And that's where I would take a person. Because a lot of people can't use the language well. They don't feel like they are yet entrenched in the languaging of it. So that gives them an opportunity to bring somebody on board by listening to that webinar. And that gives them a great feedback. And you might even choose to do that in advance of meeting with you. You could have them do that and then sit down and meet with them too if you choose to do that. Because that's a great way to get her introduced to it. And it's only, 35, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep, thanks.
Yep. Anyone else? Great contact, though, and great concept that you're talking to somebody and it just came up. I'm going to tell you, it's going to come up with everybody. The world's hurting out there, people. Even people who are in jobs today are feeling the crunch and the insecurity about maybe their job is next. So we need to be really touching people's lives in a big way. We have a great opportunity to do it, so let's go out and get her done, as Jeff Allen would say, get her done. Okay. All right, you guys, no more questions. I'll let you go. Have a great week. Make the best out of it, and don't forget, hang on to that standard of excellence. Raise the bar in your life, and let's just bring it up a notch.